Sorry, those listening over the air. I have some foreigners in the back. Okay, here it is. During the month of March, we have been investigating issues to be identified in life, and I never had received so many emails like my last sermon on life without marriage. And you still can get a copy. I think it's in the internet already, or get a CD copy on that. My first, a sermon was the identification of the power of God on worship, how Jesus defined it so clearly in John 4. And then my second sermon on issues of life was being single. There are so many people who are single, and they feel a second-class citizen. So I thought it's good to look in the scripture. There are two passages in the scripture that describe the beauty of singleness of life. And I hope that I feel in your mind how beautiful you can work for the Lord. Now, this year, this Sunday, qualify for Palm Sunday. And this is Palm Sunday prior to the crucifixion. And so I thought to bring your attention to Mark 11, that our brother read, and we're going to look in the scripture. And the key verse on Palm Sunday is the last verse of the reading of the scripture, is the verse 10. On the very last sentence of verse 10, if you are Hebrew, then you will either get offended or get saved. Because those words in English doesn't reveal or doesn't bring to us the real honor of those Hebrew words. By the way, inside the bulletin, there is an outline of the sermon that you can follow. And there is parentheses numbers which refer to the Bible that is on the pew for those who are not familiar with the Bible. And verse 10, last sentence of verse 10, the Bible says, Hosanna in the highest. I want to speak about that. That was the conclusion of this crowd. This crowd that later on yield, crucify him. At this particular moment, after Jesus healed Bartimaeus, in this, the narration of that is in Marcus chapter 10. After Jesus healed a man who was blind, then And in spite of the opposition of the disciples, he is head on into Jerusalem. And the welcome party of Jerusalem, the crown of that welcome party are those words, Hosanna in the highest. For the Spanish people, for American people, Italian people, Westerners in general, those words mean nothing. But for a Hebrew person, will mean everything. And I want to explain this as we go through the Bible. First, we'll be clear and fair to look into the occurrences of these words. This word, Hosanna, is seen in the Bible six times. Twice is used independently. Here in verse 9, Mark chapter 11, verse 9, the Bible said, and they went before, and they that follow cried, saying, Hosanna. No other word attached, no adverb, no adjective, nothing. Everything is there. If you go to the Gospel of John in chapter 12 and in verse 13, you find again that the word is used with no attachment together. In John Gospel, chapter 12, verse 13, took branches of palm trees, the Bible says, and went forth to meet him and cry, Hosanna. And then a commentary, blessed is the king, and so on. And so twice in the usage of these words, the occurrences of the word, which is only six times in the Bible, two of them are independently with no common attached. Now, twice this word also is used and followed by the word the son of David. If you now move your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, you find there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, and in verse 9 and in verse 15, follow, that word is used, and there is an attachment to that word, son of David. I'm reading Matthew 21 and verse 9. And the multitude that went before and that follow cried, saying, Hosanna, the son of David. So that word Hosanna now has an attachment, like if you are familiar with the internet, and the attachment is son of David. If you look in verse 15, the same thing happened. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw that the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna, the son of David. And so you have then twice the use of that word with the attachment, the son of David. And then also twice is used with the expression that we read, Hosanna in the highest. If you look at Matthew 21 and in verse 9, the Bible says, and the multitude that went forth and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And remember in Mark chapter 11 and in verse 10, at the very end of that verse, the people are saying again, Hosanna in the highest. So my observation to the use in the Bible of that word, Hosanna, the wonderful word, Hebrew word, Hosanna, in a minute, I want to bring you to the Old Testament to see how it's translated into English. Now, my observation is that all appearances are in reference to the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The word Hosanna, that elite word in the Hebrew language, was only used in the Bible for Jesus, applied to Jesus, as he came as the King of Kings into Jerusalem, and the people really are praising him. So it will be good to know the meaning of the word according to the Bible. And for that, you have to turn to the book of Psalms. In Psalm 118, just prior to that long Psalm 119, Psalm 118, and in verse 25, the word is used as, in Hebrew, Hosanna, you pronounce Yasana, Yasana, all right? And here is Hebrew, in Hebrews, the translators of the Bible, rather than writing, and surprise me, rather than writing in Hebrew, Hosanna, the translators of the Bible translated for us. Here it is, verse 25. Save now. Yasana. Hosanna. Save now. That's the root word. It is translated beautifully by the translators of the King James of the Bible, by the team that did the work in English. Save now. That's the word Hosanna. So now your mind can think, here is a multitude of Hebrew people who knew the meaning of that word Hosanna. And here is Jesus coming into Jerusalem and that donkey, and they are saying, Hosanna in the highest, say now from above. So the meaning is, save us now. So my question is, to whom was applied that question? To whom in Psalm 118, verse 25, to whom? Well, look in verse 26. Here we have the related sentence. The Bible says, blessed be he. He. Now my question is, who is he? All right, verse 22. Here is the subject of the sentence. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the stone of the corner. And so who is he is the stone. Now, and who is the stone? You know, do that in the Bible and you really grow and learn the Bible meaning without any attachment. Well, now you need the New Testament. So let's go to Acts chapter 4. In passage that perhaps you know very well, and you have practiced many times in memory. And if we read verse 10 in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 11, we find the context of "save us now." Who he? Who is he? The stone. Who is the stone? Look at here. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucify, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Now Peter is talking. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. Now Peter and his preaching reveal in the background who is the stone. The stone is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in a marvelous way, what's the meaning of that word, Hosanna, Yesana? It is an acclamation. It is an expression of acclamation by the Hebrew people, and only means, save us, we pray thee. Save us, we pray thee. It was ascribed only to one person in the Hebrew language in the Bible, and was ascribed to the Jewish Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so at the end, when the entrance come to an end, when Jesus just come to the very end and is making his way, the people have the best expression ever said in Hebrew. He said, the people said, save us now, we pray, O Messiah. What a glorious meaning. Now comes, what is the interpretation of the word? If you go back to Mark chapter 11 and verse 10, the Bible gives us a little hint on it. Gospel of Mark chapter 11 and verse 10. The Bible said, blessed be the kingdom of God. This is the exclamation of the people. Of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. So they are saying, save us now, O God, from above. Very related to John 3, where the Bible said, you must be born again, said the English. And the original said, you must be born from above. And so the people got the right idea. These people later on crucified the Lord and said, crucify him. But at this moment, at least intellectually, see, that's the danger of intellectual knowledge without heart knowledge. Intellectually, they were saying, save us now from above, O Messiah. We recognize that in this earth, we cannot find salvation. There is no way that we can be saved by theology, that we cannot be saved by philosophy. We cannot be saved by doing things. Save us from above, O Messiah. So they got the idea. Now, also, when the word in Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 9 is referring to the son of David. You see that? He said in Matthew 21 and in verse 9, and the multitude that went before and the follow cried, Hosanna to the son of David. That's also give us a material to realize this. What are they saying, son of David? David is dead 3,000 years already. What are we talking about? Why did he say son of David? Well, let's go to the richness of the Old Testament. In 2 Samuel, remember after Joshua, then you keep on going to the right, and you get to the 2 Samuel, and will be good one day if you memorize 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's just a marvelous prophetical chapter. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, then, and if we go to verse 13, 2 Samuel chapter 7, I'm going to read for you 12 and 13. We'll give you an idea what that means, why the Jewish people, we in the Western world will never say to Jesus, save us, son of David. It means nothing to us. But why the Jewish people will say, save us from above, son of David. Well, let's read it. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee. God is talking to David. Seed singular, which shall proceed out thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Look at verse 13. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom. For how long? Forever. Not just temporarily like Solomon. Solomon was the fulfillment, the partial fulfillment. But who is the son of David? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 1. And there you have the birth certificate of the Lord Jesus. If you are a foreigner and you go out of the country, when you return, you have two pieces of document that can make you come in. One will be your passport, and the other is your birth certificate. All right? And here's the birth certificate of the Lord Jesus. Chapter 1 of Matthew and verse 1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David. So he qualified to be king because in his genealogy, he is the son of David. And true, he's the son of David forever because Solomon is dead and is gone. But the Lord Jesus was killed, as we hear the people here saying today, and he was buried and he resurrected and he is alive. And the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 1, he's at the right hand of the Father today. So God has established a kingdom forever in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in the nation of Israel, but in the descendant of the nation of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the interpretation is obvious and is just come out. Praise and request is being ascribed to Jesus, who as the son of David has fulfilled all the promise to Israel, especially to David, where God said, you will have a king sitting in your house forever. This is not a king that you can elect it like America 2 years or every 4 years. No, sir. When God does things, he does things well. And permanent. When God said he's king, it's not just that the people of Israel can vote him in and out. No, when God put his king, he put his king forever. And so the people intellectually understood this, and they looked into Jesus, and they said, Hosanna in the highest. Oh, praise. Praise God, save us now, oh Messiah. Here is the one, here is the one. Now I think, and the Bible doesn't say this, so it's my thinking. I think these people, they were oppressed by the Roman Empire. And so when they saw that he healed Bartimaeus blind from birth, and he healed Bartimaeus, they said, boy, we got a guy here that if the Roman come in, he'd do like this with a hand, and they'd be all dead. So we got a guy here. See, people only see their physical life. They only see their life that affects them. They don't see their spiritual life because we are born spiritually dead. And we need that touch of the Spirit of God to revive us and to see that we are more the intellect and flesh. We have a spirit within us who will live forever. And so, here is. Will you say Hosanna today? Well, look in Acts chapter 4, if we can say it. All right, Acts chapter 4. And look in verse 12, what the Bible says. We read Acts 4, 10 and 11, which put Jesus as a cornerstone. And then Peter then, making a statement on the first century, look at what he says about Jesus. He said, neither is there salvation, the Hosanna, neither is there salvation in any other. There is, you know, as you walk, it's fascinating in America. As you walk in town, you see a Lutheran church, a Pentecostal church, an Episcopalian church, and everybody's going to tell you we have the truth. And then you have a Baptist church, and you have this and the other. And which one is the right church? I thought many times. One time I took the time, you know, and my old life as a doctor, I went to everybody and asked, what do you do? What do you believe? Well, we believe these, we believe the other. Some people handed me a confession of faith and so on. What did verse 12 say here? I said, neither there is salvation in any other, because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must have Hosanna. Wow. If we take Jesus out of this pulpit, if we take Jesus out of your songs, you have no salvation to offer. You may sing very beautiful like some of the ladies and the men did today, but it will be empty without Jesus, don't you think? That will be just a performance. That's what I hate, performance in church. I don't know if the right word, but I hate the people will perform. So, oh, how good they sing. I want to see the effect of the Spirit of God in the hearts of people. There was a lady crying here. That means God is real. This is not a theater. You go to the San Jose Center of Performing Arts for a theater. No, here. Here we're going to tell you whether you like it or not in a kind way and in a gentle way, because we were there before. There is only one name to be saved, and that name is the Lord Jesus. And so I have a few questions for you. One, question number one. Have you said Hosanna in the highest? Have you said personally, individually, Lord, save me, I pray. Lord, save me, I pray. Have you? Have you an encounter alone with God that you say, God is me? I deny you. I ignore you. I don't know who you were, but now I see it. The Spirit of God has touched your life. The Spirit of God has worked in your life. The Spirit of God have moved you on. And now you say, what do I do? Well, you have to say what those people said, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, save me, I pray. There is no other way to be a Christian. You can be a Baptist. You can be an Episcopalian Adventist. Or you can be anything you want to. You can be a Catholic, you can be a Protestant, you can be a Muslim, you can be anything you want to. But to be a child of God, you need to come to that Palm Sunday where those people intellectually, they recognize, hey, we have a hint here. They recognize it wrongly, but the meaning of the word is right. If they will say with a right hand, a right heart, Jesus, Hosanna, save us, we praise thee, they will be saved. But those people say it for convenience. Like some people come to church for convenience. I have in my 38 years of pastorship, people saying to me, well, I come to this church because it's good for my business. He was talking to people for business. Well, that don't get you to heaven. Yes, I agree. You're in the right company of the best people you can find. Yeah, and you have the best candidate you can find. But that don't get you to heaven. When you die, where do you go? Remember the question? If you die today, where do you go? And people never deal with that unless you are my age at 74, where you know that you need to put papers and things in line, because you die, your life is just on a line, all right? And so my son-in-law said, Papi, just put everything written or where the money is. It's just so amazing. We live in America, so fascinating country, so prosperous that no other country in the world is like America. And we forgot the Lord. We forgot the Lord. We go to church with that fascination, the best cars, the best suits and all these. It means nothing to Jesus. What Jesus wants is your heart. If your suit is a problem for the heart, take it away. You know what I mean? It's the reality. Somebody wrote me an email on my sermon on life without marriage and said, I'm so glad you are transparent, that you speak what you think. Well, imagine if you don't speak what you think, you're in trouble. If you don't say, Hosanna, save us, then you go to hell. And we don't want you to go to hell. If you had never said that, if you had never said, Hosanna, save us now. If you had never said that, will you say it today? Will you say, Pastor, hey, this is not just Palm Sunday, a tradition. This is big business. This is a moment in history where the entire world and register, even if you go to Alexandria University, if you speak a little Arabic, you're right over there, and they tell you that this is a record in the history of Israel. One time in Israel, there was a crazy guy, said the Arabs, who declared himself the very son, the only son of God against Muhammad. No, he don't say anything about Muhammad. He said, Hosanna! Hosanna! If you never have done this, if you never have said to Jesus, hey, Jesus, I have it. I know that I'm more the flesh and brilliant mind. I have a heart who is dark. Need your presence. Need your changing power. I need the Spirit of God to control me. Without the Spirit of God, you are nothing. You can be a Christian, but nothing. Unless the Spirit of God controls you. Have you ever said that? If not, will you say it today? Will you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I say it right now. Praise God. Praise God. Will you say it today? Now I understand. I need Jesus. I don't need the Baptist. I don't need the Methodist. I don't need the Pentecostal. I need Jesus as God. Will you say it today? Father, we just delighted to know, delighted to know, that one time in history, the people of Israel recognized that Jesus, the Son of David, the King of Kings, he was the one that they need to pray, save us now, we pray, O Messiah. Thank you, Lord, that one day the Spirit of God move us. And one day in the past we said, save us, Lord, now. Lord, thank you for the one who raised the hand. And thank you for those who are battling and maybe questioning this. The day, one day, will recognize Jesus. And they will say, save me now, I pray thee. In Jesus we pray, amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day. The soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating, There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Dorothea, Dolorosa, called the way of suffering. Like a ram came the Messiah Christ the King. And he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way.
Stand, please, for our closing benediction. Today is the last Sunday of the month, and it's Fellowship Sunday. And I want to advise you, the first people on that line for the enchiladas, tamales, and whatever is there are the Teen Challenge. So you people just make a line. They tell us in the kitchen when you are ready. And then we who follow will get it. I go through the other door and get the dessert first. All right. Lord, how beautiful it is to be among your people.